Thank the Lord for the blessing to be in God's house. I thank the Lord for the blood. Amen. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the beginning of the creation of God, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, as from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. No remission. Amen. Hallelujah. They're overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. Just in case, and listen, I know I'm no match for Satan, and I'm no match for none of his imps. But just in case they're hanging around tonight, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes. And by the word of their testimony. Yes. And they love not their lives unto the death. Thank God for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise him. I thank him. And my spirit has been stirred this afternoon. The preaching has been phenomenal. I've enjoyed it. I even enjoyed mine some. Amen. And enjoyed being my good friend, Brother Tim, and Brother Pastors preach, and some of you other men have preached. I didn't call any of it. I love it all. Amen. But I tell you, some of the highlights, and I shared with the men up there this afternoon, some of the highlights of this meeting's been making a visit this week and seeing God manifest himself during that visit, and then meeting up with these men somewhere up around here. It's been the highlight of these meetings this week. You folks have been so hospitable. You've expended yourself, expended your time, expended your resources. You've been good to Brother Tim and I. And I know you know Brother Tim much more than I, but I tell you what, you've been good to us, folks. And I thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for everything you've done for us. Now, I only have one complaint. The water cup, appreciate you, young lady, you're the one. It keeps getting smaller and smaller. Now, I think what you're saying, amen, if you get the idea, if you give Brother Tim and I less to drink, amen, we'll preach shorter, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes it goes from these bottled waters, amen, cup this size, and now it's down to a cup this size, amen. Now, don't get excited, amen. We'll just tell you to refill it, is all, amen. But it's so good to see every one of you out tonight. Appreciate the visitors. You are our special, special guests. And we thank God for you. And thank God for sinners that have come out that's been invited. Thank God for you. In this day and hour, in my experience anyway, Brother Ronnie, it's been difficult to get any sinners to the house of God. I don't care if they live next door to the church. They just won't come to the house of God. But there's many people here that have come. We thank the Lord for you and thank God for you pastors that have come to the meeting this week, and we've got to meet you, and thank God for every one of you. Amen. Appreciate all the faithful members being in your place. You've been so gracious, and we thank the Lord for it. Now, I thought about preaching on this, and this is very current on our minds, but the Lord just wouldn't give me liberty about it. But I do want to mention it. Amen. And I'm, with the Lord's help, I'm not going to preach it. But I preach a message on, it's very much on our minds, on the need for social distancing. The need for social distancing. I've been preaching that here lately. And we have a real need. More than 6 foot. Here's some things from the scriptures, amen, that will help you with social distancing. I want to keep my distance from this ungodly world.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Amen. We're not to be conformed to it.
That's right.
Amen. I want to keep my distance from the world. I don't want to look like the world. I don't want my family to look like the world. Churches shouldn't be like the world. Amen. Keep your distance from the world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And you won't even have to get out your measuring tape. By the way, here's the measuring tape. Right here. Amen. Get in this Bible and God will help you separate from the world. Amen. Then I want to keep my distance, amen, not only from this ungodly world, I want to keep my distance from an unequal yoke. Amen. The Bible says we're not to be yoked together with unbelievers. You want to get some help, and the Lord's been trying to help some of you young people this week. You don't want to have some heartaches and cry yourself to sleep and wet your pillow at night, amen. Are you listening to me, amen? Don't yoke up and keep your distance. Don't cash in your chips and get married to some lost boy or some lost girl just for the sake of getting married, saying I'm no longer single. Amen. A lot of things I could say there, but I'm not going to preach this. Number three, I want to keep my distance not only from an ungodly world and an unequal yoke, I'm going to keep my distance with the help of the Lord from the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. In Ephesians 5, the Bible says we're to keep our distance from that. Amen. I'm not being mean, and some of you probably got sick. I believe they said people got sick from the virus up here. Amen. I don't know whether we did or not. I have no idea. Amen. I didn't run to the doctor. You know, I find out, I'm not throwing stones, but I find that people that run to the doctor all the time end up dying. You know, and so we just ain't too much on doctor people. My wife's been wanting, with some of the problems I've got, want me to go to the doctor, amen. I said, the doctor's expensive. I don't have insurance, amen. If y'all need to go to the doctor, I'll send y'all a doctor and pay you doctor bills, amen. All this stuff. But, you know, I don't know whether we had it or not. Some of you had that. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm more concerned about sin virus than I am COVID virus. Come on, smile right there. The need for social distancing. I thought it was a good message. Amen. The need for social distancing. Amen. Well, let's look in Genesis chapter 2. I wanted to preach that during this meeting. Lord wouldn't give me no liberty. You know what I really relish in, if I do have a forte as an evangelist, is preaching the gospel. I love preaching the gospel. I love it. I mean, the evangelist is gifted of preaching the gospel. That's what it means. Evangelize means to herald the gospel. And I thank the Lord for that. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter number 2. Genesis chapter number 2. Thank you, ladies, for all the kindness and the meals. I tell you what, just a blessing. I thank the Lord for all of you. Even some of the visitors pitched in and fixed us meals. And you were all a blessing. And I know I could say for Brother Tim, sometimes he ate other places. And, you know, y'all are just a blessing to provide for us. And we thank the Lord for it. Amen. Let's look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8, if you will. Let's stand out of respect and reverence for the Word of God if you're physically able. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. With the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach on this thought. It all happened in a garden. It all happened in a garden. Father, in Jesus' name, help us, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, I learned a long time ago I can't preach without you. I need your help. I need your anointing. I felt your presence. Lord, even when I come in and hear the congregation singing and the choir has been such a blessing and added, Lord, I'd rather hear this choir this week than any well-known group that's on the so-called top 10. Lord, they've been such a blessing this week, and we thank you, Lord, for them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us now as we preach. And Lord, use us for all, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for it. Help us to be a help to this church and this pastor. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. I do pray, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. It all happened in a garden. The place selected for Adam to dwell in was not a palace, but God put him in a garden. Eden signifies delight and pleasure. Whatever it was and all that it entailed, and we don't know everything about this garden other than it was a wonderful, wonderful place. It had all the desirable conveniences without any inconvenience. Until one thing entered that garden. What a place. Eden. And God put Adam right in that garden. Notice first of all that fellowship was in this garden. Fellowship was in this garden. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8 and 9. The Bible says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" See, Adam had been used, amen, to hearing the voice of God and walking in this garden in the cool of the day. But this day, amen, when sin entered into this garden, Adam missed his appointment. You know the greatest thing that you need in your life? We could say salvation and redemption and repentance and all that, amen. But the thing that men are lacking is fellowship with God. Amen. They do not have fellowship with God. As we sang this evening, I thought about some of you were even in the choir. What a heartbreaking thing it is, amen, that you do not know what it is to commune with God because you do not know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. But Adam knew what it was, amen. Every day he had an appointment, Peter, and he met with the Lord, and the voice of the Lord God walked in the garden. Wouldn't be a blessing, Brother Asquiths, if God as a garden of the church of the living God, and it is referred to as a garden, amen. Thank God if the voice of the Lord God could come and begin to commune with some people at Black Creek Baptist Church.
Amen.
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 You need fellowship with the Lord. How empty, how vain, how void people's lives are that do not know the Lord, that have no communion with Him. How do you get through the trials of life and the testings of life and do not even know the Lord is beyond me? And listen, friend, as I look back from the other side and thank God, God saved me as a 19-year-old sinner. Listen, it blows my mind that people want to go on in darkness, live in sin, amen, and never have communion with the God of all the universe, amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, there was fellowship in this garden. When sin entered this garden, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Adam had sweet fellowship with God. He had sweet fellowship with God. But some things went awry. Some things went amok. Adam's not home. And God kept his appointment. "Where art thou, Adam?" "Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam?" He's amongst the trees of the garden, hiding himself. Sin has taken hold. The Bible says, 1 John 1:7, hallelujah. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. There's nothing better in this world, David, than having fellowship with him. I so enjoy. And listen, it seems like this meeting, we've all been going, it's not a criticism, we've all been going, hurry, scurry. Brother Tim said, come up for pizza. I said, man, if we don't watch out, we're not even going to get the fellowship together, amen. And I know that's not just the purpose. Let's all have a big rigmarole, amen. That's what we call it outside, rigmarole, amen. But I enjoy the fellowship of other believers. Brother Aswitz, it was such a blessing for a few minutes for you to sit down. And again, it was a blessing again to rehearse what God has done over the years. But I tell you, there's no greater fellowship, brother, than fellowshipping with the Lord. And how do you get along without it? Amen. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? Where art thou, Adam? He's not here. He's hidden. Sin has entered this garden. I have unique fellowship with the Lord. You can't fellowship with the Lord and walk in darkness.
No, sir.
Amen. You need his fellowship. What a void is in people's lives, amen, that they're so empty and they're so vile and they're so sinful. And listen, God can't cohabit, amen, a life that's sinful and wicked and ungodly, amen. I'm telling you, friend, where are you at? I don't know where it may be. I don't know what sins you're involved in, amen. But I'm glad there is a balm in Gilead. There is a sympathizing Savior, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God, amen. And it doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone. I'm glad that God wants to fellowship with every one of us. Woo! First man. Created in the image of God. I preach a message. God loves to dig in the dirt. And he reached down in the clay.
Yes.
And he formed man in his own image. Amen. And then listen, friend. You got to get pretty close to breathing a man into his nostrils. So apparently, looks like he gave him a kiss. Amen. Breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And then man's sins had sweet fellowship with God. And man's sins hides himself. Where art thou, Adam?
Come on, brother.
Young lady, the most amazing thing to me is that God wants to fellowship with us.
Amen.
He wants the fellowship. He knew what Adam had done. It didn't take him by surprise. He didn't say, oh, look what happened. Go to plan B. Woo! It's my last night here anyway. I've just decided to scare all of you.
Woo!
No, friend. He was a delay. Slain before the foundation of the world.
Right.
He didn't have plan B. It was all plan A. Hallelujah. Instituted before the very foundation of the world. He's going to be a lamb. There was a lamb under that altar. Amen.
Yes,
hallelujah. And he said, where art thou, Adam? Preached a few weeks ago, man, about having an asthma attack. Amen. Hallelujah. It preaching like this, I'm way ahead of my breath. Amen. Hallelujah. What is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? fellowship was in this garden. Number two, let me go back to number one. Amen. Let's touch on this. You say, well, we ain't in the garden eating no longer. I tell you what, this Bible is a garden. It's a garden. You can fellowship with Him.
Yes.
The Word of God is breathed through every page. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This Bible, this Bible is God talking to man. Hallelujah. And then you get on your prayer books, or how you choose. Your prayer's not posture necessarily, but you get on your prayer books. And then prayer is not only you just talking to God, but in talking to you, amen. Fellowship, amen. Where art thou? Where art thou? God had an appointment with you this morning. Some of you missed it. I used to sing in revival effort meetings. Ere you left your room this morning, did you forget to pray? God had an appointment with you that are saved by the grace of God. And some of you missed that appointment. Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou? Fellowship was in the garden, amen. And then I want you to notice, listen, friend, sin entered into this garden. Sin entered into this garden. Amen. Now I want you to observe the steps of the transgression. Not steps upward, but downward toward the pit. Sin entered into this garden. Genesis 3 and verse number 6. And the Bible says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for... You know, we take for granted, and I don't believe you do in this church, but you take for granted that people down south know the Bible. They don't know the God of the Bible, and they don't know this Bible. And with most people, you don't start in Romans or Ephesians. You start in Genesis, because they don't even know the kind of God they're dealing with. Amen. And so, listen, friend, we're looking at Genesis that sin entered into this garden, and here's the downward steps toward the pit. Sin always brings ruin. Sin always brings ruin. Sin always brings ruin.
Yes, sir.
And when the woman saw that the tree, Genesis 3:6, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Sin entered into this garden. First of all, notice these steps that are downward. First of all, she saw. See, a great deal of sin comes in at the eye. It comes in at the eye. Amen. You better watch what you're looking at, what you're letting your eye gate. Listen, your eye gate's one of the closest things to your mind. Why is people's mind so polluted? They have got their eyes wide open to this wicked, ungodly world. Name it off. Adultery. Fornication, sodomy, incest. I mean, listen, you ain't fooling me, friend. It goes on in America every day, amen, friend, because people will not close their eyes. And when she saw that the tree was good for food, a great deal of sin comes in at the eye. Let us not look at what we are in danger of lusting after. Amen. His flesh is wicked. My flesh is wicked. Unless you misunderstood me, amen, I would not want my thought life to be shown up on a screen to anybody.
That's right.
And what God has given me victory over and repentance over, amen, I would not. I'm going to tell you what, but what about those that have unobstructed eye gates? And no, listen, no restriction, no boundaries like we've got today, amen, and filled up with licentiousness and wickedness and ungodliness, amen. I'll tell you where I was introduced to pornography, unfortunately, was at the Christian school. By other people that were in the Christian school. Now I had a choice to make. I had a wheel.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
But that's where I was introduced to it. I wish, John. I wish those things that I could rip,
right,
that I could rip out of my mind,
yeah,
tear out of my mind.
Yeah.
That the devil at low spots and when the flesh, amen, is low, that he brings up and there's a, literally, Stephen, there's a monster. There's a monster on the inside of me that wants to, that's why you gotta crucify, mortify, and die out, amen, to it, amen. Oh, may God help you to see that sin entered the garden, amen. God's put you in a situation in the local church, in listen among people that love you, in a garden of herbs as it is. Amen tonight. But I'm going to tell you, if you let sin reign, it'll ruin your life. That's why the Bible says, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For be better for thee to enter into life having one eye than enter into hell having two eyes.
Glory to God.
Amen. I'm not checked up on the stock. And listen, this is being recorded, and people take what you say and take one statement, they'll run with it. Amen. I ain't kept up with the stock of Playboy. I don't know how they're doing. But the internet has made it so very accessible that some of you are ate up with girly pictures and little girl porn.
Come on.
And there's only one thing that'll deliver you from that. Salvation.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
Better believe it.
That's the only thing that'll deliver you from that.
That's right.
You better watch what you're looking at, amen. Sin entered into that garden, amen. Listen, friend, the history of every temptation and of every sin is the same. It's the outward object of attraction. It's the inward commotion of mind. It's the increase and triumph of passionate desire, ending in degradation, slavery, and ruin of the soul. Unless you misunderstand me, amen. You done know I ain't a very learned preacher, so that ain't original with me, but it's a good statement, so I'm going to read it again.
Okay.
Most preachers take everybody else's statements, amen, and they just soundboard what everybody else says, amen, and they ain't never got a message from God.
Yeah.
But this is a good statement. The history of every temptation and of every sin is the same. The outward object of attraction, the inward commotion of mind, the increase and triumph of passionate desire, ending in degradation, slavery, and ruin of the soul. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every time, you're not going to change it, amen. So he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Everything about the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Thus saith the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So notice, she saw. Number two, she took. Amen. It was her own act indeed. Amen. Now, Adam was in the transgression, but it was her own act indeed. Satan may tempt, but notice this. He cannot force. Satan may tempt, but he cannot force. You have a will.
Come on.
And unfortunately, when you're lost, you have no restraint. People get up and they say, Brother Rose, you browbeat sinners, amen, from the pulpit. But I'm going to tell you, amen, if you're lost without God, you have no restraint. You're capable of doing anything, anything. And you have a will. You've got a choice in what you do. Some of the men were testifying, I don't want to embarrass somebody, man. You know, we're up there and fellowshipping one another and testifying. I don't look to uplift or embarrass anybody. But they was testifying how God had gave them deliverance and victory. By the grace of God, amen. Why don't you choose to quit? Sin is ruining you, Peter. Why don't you choose to quit it?
Come on.
Right. Right.
I'm done with the old life.
Yeah. Come on.
Yes, sir.
Sin's taking me down. Yeah. Sin's destroying me. Sin's going to burn me. And by the grace of God, talking about work salvation, by the grace of God, I'm going to quit. I'm going to run to Jesus. I'm going to get right with God. Amen.
As well.
Amen. She took. She ate. Where'd you get this? Amen. Look in your Bible. It's right in there. Amen. Genesis chapter 3. Amen. When she looked, perhaps she did not intend to take. She's tempted by the devil. He has a diatribe there and convinces her, well, God's holding out on you. And there's something good here that God don't want you to have. And God don't really mean what he says. All the messages I've preached over the years, amen. I preach, does God really mean what he says? Listen, God knows in the day thou eatest thereof that thou shalt be as gods, knowing good and evil, amen. And God's holding out on you, Eve. Ye shall not surely die. Liar! The devil's a liar! He's lied to some of you. He's lied to you for years. And when you partake of that sin and eat of it, you are going to die. When she looked, perhaps she did not intend to take, or when she took, she didn't intend to eat it. But that's how it ended. It is wisdom to stop the first motions of sin. This is good for saints. It is wisdom to stop the first motions of sin. When you look across the aisle, amen, and you see your neighbor's wife, and that thought enters your mind, you better kill that. Listen, to God be the glory. I am madly in love with Sister Rose. Amen. I mean, madly in love with her. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, you better kill it.
That's
Then first note, I don't care how happily you're married, amen. Listen, friends, somebody come by that's very attractive and appealing to the flesh. You better shut down those notions in your mind, amen. Because no sin was committed in the body that didn't first start here. It is wisdom to start the first motions of sin and to leave it alone before it is meddled with. She gave it also unto her husband with her. Adam's right there. Adam, as her head, is held responsible. The woman partook of that fruit, but God held the man responsible. You know, I could preach stuff. This, it's need to be preached. You men, I tried to share that with you as loving as I could. You men need to step up. Amen. You men need to step up if you're saved by the grace of God and ask God to help you be the man you ought to be and the husband you ought to be. Amen. Because where are you directing your family? Where are you leading your family? Where are you taking your family to?
Come on, brother.
The Bible says she gave to her husband with her, and he did it. He was right there. He probably watched her. Why didn't he stop her? He knew what God had said in Genesis 2:17. He had been instructed by God. They were not, they could eat. You know, Brother Maury, it breaks my heart. I preach as long as some people have been in the world now, 30-some years. And I've seen it, Sister Rose, you've seen it since you've been traveling. We've been traveling the hills and hollers, amen. Listen to children and kids and families that you tried to tell them, stop! Don't do that! You're going the wrong way, amen. But they're going to take of that fruit. They're going to do anything they have to do to get it.
Yeah, that's right.
And their families are shattered and their lives are wrecked tonight because they would not listen to the word of God. They knew what God had told them. But they've got to have it.
Come on, brother.
Go ahead. Get what you want, son. I pray you don't. But if you choose to do that, get what you want. But you won't want what you get. Get what you want, but you won't want what you get. And when you're crying yourself to sleep, and when, listen, the drugs have rotted out your teeth, and your life is miserable, and no man has nothing to do with you, you'll be empty. And the devil will stand over you and laugh at you. He lied to you all the time.
Yes.
Don't go that route. Because see, those who have done wrong are willing to draw in others to do the same. You ain't fooling me in this great church of Black Creek Baptist Church. There may be young people, there may be older people that would try to drag you away from things of the Word of God and the things of God, amen, and say, well, you know, that preacher's a little overbearing. And Brother Tim, amen, look how he preaches to the young people. He's so unkind. And this pastor back here that has proved that he's not this congregation, the devil give your ear and say, yea, hath God said. God doesn't really mean that. He's taking that a little too far. And what they're doing, they done took of the fruit, and they want to draw you in. I want you to notice, amen, this little message. Sin entered the garden. She saw. She took, she ate, she gave. Number 5, he ate. in neglecting the tree of life of which he was allowed to eat. Did you get that? He was allowed to eat that. He rejected that. And eating from the tree of knowledge, which was forbidden, Adam plainly showed a contempt for what God had bestowed upon him and a desire for what God did not see fit to give him. He would have... Are you listening? This is a scrap. This is a book. This is a commentary of some of your lives. Amen. He would have what he pleased. And he would do what he pleased. His sin was, in one word, disobedience, which I choose to believe it was rebellion against the revealed will of God.
Yep.
I say it to you sinners, you're rebels! You're rebels against God! You're in rebellion! You're in anarchy against God! And I don't say that just because I'm a black creature. I preach this everywhere. I mean, it makes people upset. Religious people, I'm a rebel. I'm in anarchy. My fist is shaking in the sight of God. Yes, if you're lost, you're in rebellion against His word and rebellion against His authority. Disobedience to a plain, easy, an explicit command. He had no corrupt nature within to betray him, but had freedom of will in full strength, not weakened or impeded. He turned aside quickly and he drew all his posterity into sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It all happened in a garden. Man's expulsion from the garden. Genesis chapter 3, verses 23, 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man's expulsion from the garden. A perfect place. A place of fellowship. The voice of the Lord God showed up every day. Brother Tim, I thank the Lord that even these days of darkness, every now and then, the voice of the Lord God shows up. And it rings somebody's bell, some sinner's bell.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Amen.
Yeah.
It shows them their need for the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I love it.
But right now, you're outside the rim of this garden. That's where Adam was. That's where you're at. Amen. Let me say this, because I believe the message primarily has been preached. Let me just run through these and try to help you saints of God. You remember old wicked Ahab, 1 Kings. I'm not going to preach these. 1 Kings 21, 2. Old wicked Ahab said, "Give me your vineyard. It's close to my palace. I want yours. I've got others. I'll even give you a better one than what you've got. Give me your vineyard." I want to say, don't give up your garden.
Right. Good. Yep.
Now, I live on a former junkyard. Literally. You said, "I know you're a junkyard dog." But listen, friend, I live on a former junkyard. They say there's cars buried where we live, Brother Tim, and everything else. My ground don't grow anything. Part of it's clay, most of it's shale and slate. I mean, I dug and dug and dug up cakes of slate. Amen. You can't grow stuff in rocks. Amen. I tried to build up. I'd like to have the money back in it. We wanted it. We went with sincere. We got peat moss and topsoil, amen, and tried to build raised beds, amen. I still couldn't grow none. I think that was, am I right, the tomato was that big this year. And we did get a pepper that was about this size. Hallelujah! Amen. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what, in the spiritual life of you that are saved, I wouldn't give up a family. I wouldn't give up my convictions. I wouldn't get, if wicked Ahab comes your way and says, give me your garden, I've got something better for you, amen. I wouldn't give up my garden, amen. And listen, he said, God forbid. Listen, this has been given to me, handed down from my fathers. I want to say something, brother. Thank God for everything the Word of God's taught me. Thank God for everything I've learned from preachers, good pastors. Thank God for my parents that taught me about things about separation. Amen. There's some things God put in my heart. Don't get nervous here, amen. It ain't necessarily even scripture. You say you got scripture for that? Sure do, Bubba. Read about the Rechabites, Jeremiah 35.
Yes, sir.
God hadn't told them to do any of that. They had a rock, they could have planted vineyards. They had a right, they could have dwelt in cities. They had a right to do those things. But their daddy says, don't do them. And they said, we're going to do what daddy says.
I like it.
Hey, man. There are just some things, amen, I've chose not to do. Amen. I want to be as scriptural as the Lord will let me be. Amen. But there's some things people do not understand that God's put in my heart. Amen. And I've enforced it even on my family. Amen. I'm not going to give up my garden. Amen. I'm not a Pharisee. A Pharisee's a lost person anyway. I'm not lost. Amen. And I don't want to have a Pharisaical attitude. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't want to give up my garden. Amen. I want you to notice, amen. You remember Lot, Genesis 13 and verse number 10. The Bible says he saw the plain of Jordan and down there at Sodom. How did he describe it? It was as the garden of the Lord. Sodom. The devil will make a lot of things, amen, that are wicked and ungodly seem like they're right.
That's right.
Come on, brother.
That's the reason you better have discernment. You better know this Bible.
Amen.
Get around men when you have questions, amen, and when people come around whispering, amen, how about this and let's do this, amen. That's where in a multitude of counselors, there is safety, amen. Get with your pastor. Get with the man of God, amen. Get in the Word of God and find out what's God's. Because Lot got messed up. Because it looked like the garden of the Lord, Sodom. I ain't going to preach, I ain't got time. Amen? Amen. I've preached some out of the Song of Solomon, and I've preached some out of the Song of Solomon. I've been preaching a good while for some of my age and preached on a lot of different subjects. Amen. But you know what? What I see from the book of Song of Solomon seems like to me, it's a love affair. And I'm not trying to be dirty or anything explicit. But it's a love affair that God has for His church.
Amen.
Solomon showered affection and love upon that woman.
Amen.
Amen. He looked for her. She's looking for him. Amen. You know, we have revival. I guarantee you God's looking, Brother Tim. And buddy, I tell you what, if we'd get looking for him, us that are saved, amen, we'd have revival around Black Creek Baptist Church. That woman was looking. Have you seen him? Have you seen him? Hey, she was a seeking after him, amen. But there's things there that are kind of, the Bible's not dirty or anything. Get your nose out of Get your nose out of these romance books. I tell you, the greatest romance book you'll ever find, ladies, is right here in the pages of God's Word. God has given you a love letter, amen. Listen, friend, he wants to shower his affection on you. And Song of Solomon, amen, it shares with us the love Christ had for his church in a garden. That's what he called it. In a garden. I want to give you a text you look for. Amen. There's your homework. Amen. Hallelujah. The delights of love. They're in Song of Solomon. Amen. It wouldn't take you long to read it tonight. Song of Solomon. Hallelujah. I'm talking about it all happened in a garden. Brother John, Gethsemane was a garden. And there Christ, he agonized in the garden. Matthew 26, verses 36 and 37. Matthew 26. And buddy, I tell you, Brother Tim's already brought us to this point already today. You that, praise God for you that were faithful and some of you couldn't come. I encourage you to listen to that from this morning. But thank God he came to this garden of Gethsemane, amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us in Matthew 26, verse 36 and 37, the scripture says here, then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And listen right there, and I don't have time to go through it, amen. But I'm going to tell you, friend, I believe as he prayed and agonized, I believe that Satan, according to the book of Hebrews, met him. I believe he tried to kill him in the dirt. I believe that. He that was able to deliver him from death, Hebrews says it. Amen. Satan never wanted him. You talk about somebody, you say, well, I know the Bible. I'll tell you what, the devil knows it better than you do. You don't think the devil knows the Bible? Amen. The devil knows the Bible. He knows it so much he hates it, wants to destroy this King James Bible. He knows it. And he tried to destroy him right there in Gethsemane. Only Calvary could take care of what happened in the first garden. In the first garden, failure. In the first garden, sin. In the first garden, depravity. With Adam, it plunged us all. David, it dragged us all down to the abyss of sin. But thank God. According to 1 Corinthians, there's just too much to preach. Amen. I would literally, if I had the strength, I don't have the strength anymore. I'm 52. Amen. Hallelujah. And don't even drink energy drinks. Amen. Hallelujah. I just don't have the strength anymore. Amen. To go on and on and on preaching like I do. But I tell you what, according to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 47 through 49, listen to it as I read it. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord from heaven, as is the earthly, such are they also that are the earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly, and as have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. See, that first Adam took us down. Hallelujah. That second Adam will bring you up. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what you need. We preach Jesus is what we preach.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not Saying everybody got to preach like I do, amen. But hallelujah, I just preach it with more spunk, amen, than most people. Hallelujah, I'm excited about it. I know what this wonderful Savior did for me, Peter, one day. October 3rd, 1989. You say, well, I've heard that before. Well, you may get tired of hearing it, but I never get tired of telling it. The Lord Jesus Christ met me up in Crown Point, Indiana. I was going to fulfill an obligation to go to Bible school for 1 year. Amen. No, I profess to be saved. Amen. Living like a devil. But listen, I was going to fulfill an obligation to my parents for 1 year and go to Bible school and then join the Marine Corps. Most people think I've been in the Marines. Amen. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Listen, I hadn't planned on it. I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't planned on meeting with God up there. But one day in a chapel service, God rang my bell. God got me to a point where I saw myself lost as God seen me. Hallelujah. The first Adam dealt with my sins. I saw myself lost. Amen. Heard the gospel over and over and over and over. Struggle with it. Wondered how I could do some of the hideous things I was doing in secret and be saved.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
But God, that day, used a preacher, probably not of our stripe. What do you think about that? It's Brother Roland Rasmussen. I don't know all about him. But that day, he came to preach on the fruits of the Spirit as an evidence of salvation. And I said, I'm totally barren. I have none of those things. Love, joy, peace. I have none of those things. But listen, I got right with God that day. I got saved. See, the first Adam took you down into ruin, degradation, depravity. The second Adam is the one that will bring you out.
Amen.
Jesus. 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 Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord hath laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Can I say this? He died for your sins. That's really when it becomes clear. To say cumulative, He died for our sins, that's a general. For God so loved the world, cumulative statement. But personally, when God, the Holy Ghost, convicts you and sheds, you see that it's your sins that nailed the Son of God to the tree. It was your sins He died for. He died for your sins.
That's right, Mother.
Christ was buried in a garden. It all happened in a garden. He was buried in a garden.
Amen.
When she came to that sepulcher, I so love my old time mountain pastors and preachers, amen. And I'm not making fun of them. You know how they would pronounce that word? It took me for a while. I mean, you know, I'm not a dumbbell either, amen, even though I'm a hick. They would call it the sepulchre. That's how the whole mountain preachers pronounce. They would pronounce it just as it's spelled, the sepulchre. And I said, what in the sepulchre? I mean, I was from Wise, Virginia. I moved to Tennessee, amen, south of Wise, Virginia, and they called me Rick the Hick. And I said, I have never heard. We went to school. That's how we pronounce school. That's Wise County, Virginia talk. Amen. We went to school. Went to school, ma'am. And I said, I have never heard it called the sepulcher. Amen. But I love Pastor Hawkins, and he always pronounced it that way. But when they come to that sepulcher and didn't find the body, and then Jesus revealed himself to her, the Bible says she thought he was the gardener.
Yeah.
He was buried in a garden.
Amen.
Amen. What? But he didn't stay in the garden. Hallelujah. 3 days and 3 nights. And listen, we could stay all night. I choose to believe that. Listen, friend, and I understand Jewish time said, amen, it begins 6 o'clock in the evening. I'm not a dummy. Amen. You don't count some of the things in the Bible by East Tennessee time, okay? I'm not a thinker like moves, amen. I may come across that way, but listen, I know a few things. But listen, whether you believe it was Wednesday, which I prefer to believe, or sometime Thursday because of the Jewish time set, amen, he was in there 3 days and 3 nights. And you can't get that from Good Friday. You say, you believe in Good Friday? I said, every Friday's good, especially if you have a 5-day work week, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But he was there 3 days and 3 nights. But thank God. Listen, on that third appointed morning, he got up. You say, how'd he do it? By his own power, amen. And listen, you say, what's it going to take to save me? That same resurrection power is what's going to take to raise you from your dead estate, amen. According to the Bible, he rose again. Victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I didn't find this in the gold nuggets. It all happened in a garden. It all happened in a garden. It all happened in a garden. He rose again the third day. Hallelujah. I want you to notice Isaiah 51. Just a few more scriptures, amen. You can bear with me, amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, listen, when God lets me preach like this, amen, it's one, and there have been times I've jerked my neck. I used to kind of mimic Brother Allen. I jerked my neck, and I about passed out one time. I did something, popped something on my neck, about made me pass out. I've jerked my arm out of socket preaching. When I get preaching like this, I can literally hurt myself. When I was down there preaching, me and Brother Moore was down there preaching, amen, and I made a big point and slammed my fist down on the pulpit and a big knot started growing out by my wrist there, amen. I said, I have broke my hand. I about did it the other night preaching, amen. I about did it again and popped it again. And Brother David, you know him, amen. Y'all bear with him, amen. Hallelujah. He's my friend, Brother David. He said, these sissy preachers we're having in here, we're going to have to start sewing pillows on the pulpit. Brother Rose is breakable, amen. Y'all pray for him, amen. He needs a great deal of prayer, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 51, amen. It all happened in a garden, amen. I believe, amen, one day, thank God, it won't be long. Jesus is coming back soon. And in that eternal state, I believe the earth one day is going to go back to that same Edenic state like a garden, according to the Word of God. Isaiah 51 and verse number 3. I don't have time to deal with all the verses, amen. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. One day, amen, hallelujah, the desert is going to blossom as a rose.
Keep
that in mind, Rose. Me and my family, I didn't have that kind of family then, amen. Me and the Rose family, my mom and dad, sisters, used to sing, my old sister used to sing, amen. And we'd sing them songs. One of them's about a rose, amen, I can't remember. And then another, amen. And it was probably proverbial, the rose among the thorns. That's purposeful of devils. Amen. the rose among the thorns. Will you sing that song? Amen. Amen. But thank God one day, amen, during especially that millennial kingdom, amen, listen, that power, hey, it ain't going to be plowed up, amen, hallelujah, it's going to be plowed down because it, listen, hallelujah, the earth will be bearing such fruit and be like a garden. Listen, the curse one day is going to be lifted. I want to say to you, it doesn't matter what you're going through. I know. I don't know the heartache. I don't know the anguish. I don't know the pain of a close death amongst my children. But thank God, I'm glad this is not the end. One day there will be no sorrows.
Amen.
And everything will be set right. Amen. Because it looks like to me, Revelation 22, them fingers do the walking, amen? Revelation 22, notice this. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And her leaves of the tree, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Hallelujah. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve them. It looks like to me heaven is a garden.
Amen.
It's a garden. And that's where we're going that are saved.
Amen.
I'm not trying to dangle something in front of you, amen, and trick you. But that's what you're going to miss out on if you're lost. From where one garden were ended in catastrophe and calamity, and another garden, amen, that will, after the judgments are over, it will be eternal bliss. Brother Maury, we talk every now and then, throw a message back and forth every now and then, amen. We're going to be forever together, amen. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's a Yankee or not, amen. Listen, friend, there ain't going to be no Yankee and Southern and Hicks up there, amen. Y'all going to talk like me? Just my opinion about that anyway, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love Jesus. Amen. Let me get this thing off before I kill it, before the meeting's over. Amen. But I tell you what, I want to say something. I love the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I love the Lord tonight. And I'm glad God got me out of the mess that I was in. I'd rejected God's fellowship, God's commandments in that first garden. And God got me in the garden of the church. Sounds like to me it's all about a garden.
Amen.
He got me in his garden. He began to work on me. I got saved one day by the grace of God as a 19-year-old sinner. And one day, that's not all, dear pastor, but he's going to take me to a garden because I'm going to be where he is. And everything's going to be fine. There ain't going to be no more curse. And there ain't going to be no more crying. And there ain't going to be no more heartaches. And there ain't going to be standing of heads of caskets no longer. There'll be no death there. That just can't enter. Because it's a place of eternal life. Listen, if I could persuade you, I would, but I can't. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And I'm going to tell you one thing. If the love of Christ can't constrain you, if the love of Christ can't constrain you to come to Jesus, there ain't much else that will. Alone. He loved you so much, he came in your garden where you had rejected him and fallen. And he said, "Where art thou?" That's what he said tonight to you. "Where art thou?"
Alone.
And he's bidding you to come. Why won't you come? Pastor, how do you choose to close the service?
Pastor Green, come on. I think there's a lot of people need to beg God for what you've heard tonight, not slip away from it. You need to beg God that what you heard tonight not slip away from it. Sower has sown tonight. Some of the seed has fallen on people that don't understand, and the devil's just taken it away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of it has fallen on ground that you so love the world, the weeds are going to eat at it.
Yeah.
Okay? Some of you, riches and things of that sort, the rocks are going to destroy it, but some of you, some of you, God's been preparing your ground. And He's dealt with you, and He's worked with you. You have trouble leaving this stuff behind. Praise God. Praise God for that one that follows you. Okay? Praise God for that one that wakes you up. Praise God for that one that troubles you. Okay? You need to beg God not to let these things slip. Pastor
Haynes. Amen. Jesus has been presented to us as the Almighty One and the only one who can make a difference in a life. We're going to sing about that in page 131. Jesus paid it all. He
Amen.
Paid it for you. He paid it for you. Were it not for Him dying, there would be